Okay, turn your Bible with me to chapter 3 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. If I can find the most important chapter of the entire Bible, the most important chapter of the entire Bible would be this chapter. You may say, why this chapter? Why not chapter describing Jesus Christ's death? However, how can you talk about Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice unless we know why the reason? What's the reason that we need to know it's atoning sacrifice? It's like this is the place where we can find the main reason for the atoning sacrifice. This is the fall of man. The curse is made out of the fall of man. However, God is so gracious. He is providing the cure from God for the fall of man. And that's the reason why, in my opinion, this is the most important chapter in the Bible, whole Bible. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. It gives us the whole view, the good picture of the fallen man and the temptation, and most of all, your love. In spite of who we are, while we were still yet sinner, you provide the cure for us that we may come to know Jesus, that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus. We also lift up our troops and around the world who is risking their lives for us, for our freedom. We are asking for your have your protection be upon them, strengthen them, and comfort them, especially while they are away from their family. And through this time, they may come to know Jesus. And we think of our police officers around this community and around Tucson and the Green Valley area, and the Rio Rico and Tubac and Nogales. We're asking you, again, protection to be upon them. And use us to witness to them they may come to know Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field in which the Lord God had made. He said to woman, note that, please. He said to woman, has God indeed said, underline next phrase, please. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. See, notice that this is a conversation between serpent and first people, Eve. This conversation is happening in the Garden of Eden. Serpent does not say it's Satan, but from the context, we know that this is Satan. Apparently, the curse is pronounced in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. However, the serpent is different than what we know as a serpent. Obviously, this time is somehow he's able to talk. And he's able to use the legs instead of crawling around, because we'll find out that he became a snake that crawling around. It's slithering and hissing like a normal snake. At this point, it was not. One interesting thing is that the first two chapters, we find that God says something. Guess what happened? All the life comes into the order. When the Satan speaks, what happened? There's a disorder, there's a chaos. Satan brought the temptation against the woman because he knew that woman is more vulnerable, this particular woman, because she did not hear the word of God, command of God firsthand, because God spoke to Adam first. And not only that, In general, woman is longing for more spiritual things. And that's why you can find more women in the church. And that's why there is more founders of the ism or the cult a woman. That's the truth. Satan's first attack is against the word of God. If you notice, he said, you shall not eat of every tree. Did God say that? No, he did not. He said, you can eat any tree except one tree, the fruit of one tree. So he's trying to deceive people of God by undermining the word of God. by making us to neglect the word of God and neglecting the prayer to God, he can make us to doubt the word of God. He's undermining it. If you fall for it, you're going for his hook, line, and sinker. Folks, the word of God is your living manual. It's my living manual. Without this, we cannot find a way around. Second verse. And the woman said to the serpent, "You may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, and of the fruit, of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it." Next one is need to be on the line. It's very important. "Nor shall you touch it, lest you die." If the first mistake, folks, this is another important thing. The first mistake is that she is conversing with the devil. What is there for us to converse with the devil? There's nothing worth hearing from him. There's nothing worth talking to him because he's the father of all liars. Amen. As Jesus said in the book of John, there's nothing worth. And the second mistake I found is that she misquoted what God says. Did God say, "You shall not touch it"? He simply said, "You shall not eat the fruit of this tree of knowledge of evil, good and evil." As I said before, she can hang upside down on the branch, or she can build a tree house on that tree branch. She could do anything on that tree. Just don't eat it. That is a simple obedience and disobedience matter. But she chose to add something in there. Folks, when we start to exchange God's word with a man's word, or add or delete anything, then we're starting to have a problem. That's a typical method of a cult. Let's continue in verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. Would you mind put the word next to it? Parenthesis, false." That's very important. "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open." Is that true? Yes, it is true. And the next one says, "You will be like God." Is that true or false? That's a false. So far we have a false, truth, false. Let's go on. "Knowing good and evil." Is that true or false? That's a true. So half true, half false. Is that a true? That means, does it mean this whole sentence, is it true or false? False. What if I add one drop of false in the gigantic tons of the truth? Is that truth or false? False. Anything add other than truth, word of God, is false. Amen. Why is doing the mixing the word of God and his own thing? To make a credibility, to build a credibility in them. He knows, Satan knows, a blatant and flat out 100% lie would not fly. So to make the credibility and to make it look sounds good, he's going for the truth and false. See, let's make a stage. Let's make a situation. Eve was not supposed to talk to Satan. She should know better, but she is talking to him. And on top of all, she's quoting the word of God wrong way. And Satan is pointing out that she is not understanding completely. So he's adding his own thing. And then he's undermining the word of God. He's denying the word of God. Now he's going for the kill. He's going for jugular. He's going up upright. He's a downright contradiction against the word of God. He said, "You will be like God." Satan first wanted Eve to forget all the things God said about the consequences if she and he, Adam, become disobedient to the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if we forget the consequences, we'll do just about anything for the passing pleasure of sin. But if we remember the consequences, we will stop our sins. Satan also tried to portray God as some mean, conniving, jealous master that does not share the good things with Adam and Eve. This is for himself only, no one else. Here comes the ultimate bait for the mankind. You will be like God. This is the oldest lie, folks, against humankind, mankind. It came in many different packages, in many different wrapping. Mormonism is another same kind. Christian Science is another kind. And New Age. Oh, it sounds so good. New Age. Harmless. Is it? It's the same old lie with a different package, same song, different lyrics. Within the rank of Christianity, I know I'm going to ruffle up some feathers here. So I do that every week anyway, so I'm not concerned about it. Within the rank of Christianity, there's false teachers who said the same kind of thing. I will name the one person, Kenneth Copeland. And some of you say, how can you say that about your own brother? If he teaches false doctrine, I will call him he's a false teacher. Amen. Without an apology. He said this. This is a quote from him. Cow beget cow. Dog beget dog. Since we are children of God, we must be little gods. Is that true? We are children of God. There is a correct. That is correct. Are we gods? I'm not, and you ain't. Okay? Before you get all upset and pick up the stone and stone me or storm out the door, would you like to listen to his own voice, his own recording? It's right in here. You can borrow this from the bookstore. Listen to his with your own ears about his teaching. He says a little about that in his own word. If anyone teach you anything other than what the Word of God says, when he tried to exchange Word of God with man's word, he's a false teacher. Amen. If I do that, kick me out. Amen. Why do I ask you to open your Bible with me and follow each verse with me? Because I want you to check. Don't take my word for it. Because I might lie to you. The liberal people and atheist people like to take the word out from this book so that they can delude it. God warns it against it. And the legalists and the cults and the false teachers like to add their words into this book so they can suit their needs. God warns it against it too. Please note that Satan does not come up with a pure lie. As I said before, he adds a little bit of the truth on the lie. Just enough truth to be believable and enough lie to be destructive. Amen. Verse 6. And when, I'm going to ask you to put the number one in the next phrase, please. The woman saw that a tree was good for food. Number two, it was pleasant to the eyes. Number three, the tree desirable to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to the husband with her, and he ate. Eve surrendered to this temptation. Some people said, I don't struggle with the temptation because I just give in. That's not much of a fight. As a Christian, we should not do that kind of thing. We should fight against it. Word of God says, submit to God. Resist devil. He will flee from you. James 4:7 says. So she just surrendered to this temptation and did exactly what 1 John 2:16. Let's go to 1 John 2:16. 1 John is located right behind 2 Peter. 1 John 2:16. Note the sequence of this phrase, please, in the verse. 2:16. For all that is in the world, number one, lust of flesh. Number two, lust of the eyes. And number three, pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's go back to what it says in Genesis, what Eve says. Did you notice she saw and the tree was good for food, lust of flesh, feeling, desiring, they lost the food. Number two, she saw it was pleasant to her eyes. Lust of eyes. Number three, is that desirable to make one wise. Feeling the pride. Emotional pride. This is a typical method, typical tactic of Satan. Did it work? It worked this time. What about Matthew and what we find in temptation by Satan? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1-11. We are not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to mark it, and some of you guys already know where I'm going with this. Matthew 4, verse 1-11. Jesus was tempted exactly the same method. He was enticed with filling his hungry stomach with the stone that can be changed into the bread. And he was enticed with a pill for covetousness and emotional desire. He can own the entire world because Satan can give it to him. And the third, appealing to his pride. You know what? How did Jesus fight back? He used the word of God. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The problem difference between Eve and Jesus Christ is Eve misquoting the word of God, but Jesus quoting the word of God correctly. How did he know? Well, but then again, he wrote that book, so he knows that book. But he was quoting exactly. Folks, it is important for us to have this word in our heart. If we don't have this word in our heart, we will be deceived just like this Eve. Amen. When we start to compromise the word of God, we will be deceived. We will be going down his trap. I've seen way too many people heading into Satan's trap because they are not in the word of God. Time to time I find people who know the word of God, some of the pastor friends, and they're heading into the trap. And I ask them, "What were you thinking?" He said, "Because I neglect my time with God." Every one of them. Did they study the Word of God and did they teach the Word of God? Yes, they did. But did they had a time with God in their own personal life? No, they neglected it. It's the one thing for me to study the Word of God, to come stand behind the pulpit to teach you. It's a completely another thing for me to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If I don't take care of my intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, if I don't culture that thing, then I will head to the same direction. It's not just me, folks. You too. Amen. People who dwell in the Word of God every day are able to fall into temptation. So are you. Amen. None of us are above and beyond temptation. You face temptation every day, every hour. How we act will make the difference. Eve misquoted the word of God, but Jesus quoted the word of God correctly, applied into his life correctly. I don't think the devil will change his tactic, and he never changed his tactic. He is applying his tactic to the lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and appeal to the pride. Why is it not changing? Because it works every time. You name the one sin that does not apply to this tactic. It applies to all of them. Amen. So he's not changing it. Even though Eve was tempted by Satan, Satan could not cram down this fruit into her throat. Eve was responsible for the action. She cannot say the devil made me to eat that fruit. She took it, she ate it. Whenever we sin against God, we cannot say the devil made me to do it. She is responsible. Not only she Eve sinned against God, she became an agent of temptation toward Adam. Yes, Eve was deceived. However, what about Adam? His eyes wide open, he heard everything. He heard what God said to him, but yet in open rebellion he took the fruit and ate it. Let's continue in verse 7. Then the eyes of the both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. It said that then the eyes of both of them were open. It refers to the conscience. Until now, they did not have a conscience. You may say, well, they thought, I thought the conscience was born in their heart. Remember, at this time, they were innocent until they took the fruit and become disobedient to God. What is innocence? Innocence is ignorance of evil. Ignorance of evil. Because they did not know anything about it, good or bad. However, when they choose to take this fruit by their own free will, when they were tempted by their own free will, they took this fruit and become disobedient to God, they realized they went against the word of God. And their conscience is bothering them. All of a sudden, they realize they are sinful and they are naked. Would you put that fig leaves? This is a fig leaves. When I was in Israel, I saw this was En Gedi. There was a Niagara Falls. Yeah, duh. Waterfall was there. So I took a picture of this prickly leaves, fig leaves. If I'm understanding this correctly, fig leaves are rather itchy one. It has a lot of things sticking out. How would you like to put that thing in your skin? Especially sensitive area. You don't. It's like, how many of you guys have that one of those tags behind your clothes that bug you all day long? I always cut them off. It's like having that thing on your back. This is man's effort for religion, folks. We're trying to do something to reach up to God's status. It's our effort. Man's religion is man's effort. It doesn't work. Amen. They try to cover up themselves. Instead of confessing their sin, they try to cover up. It doesn't work. And Adam's attempt to covering his own sin is like a religion, as I said before. And religion is man's effort. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord and God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Watch this, guys. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam, said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." This is a side note. One day, the pastor of the new church, he became a new pastor of this particular church. So he wanted to get to know people, so he decided to visit these people on Saturday. So he came to this particular home, knocked on the door, and nobody answered. There's a car, and there's a noise inside of the house, and with the TV blaring, and knocked on the door several times, nobody answering. So he pulled out his business card and write it down. He thought, it's a cute thing to write it down. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You all know that verse. I stand at the door and knock, and anyone come, open the door, and I'll come in. Since he was standing at the door, and he being a pastor, he thought it was cute to just leave that thing at the edge of the door. And he left. Next morning, they had the offering plate passed around, and the usher gave him the business card back. It's his business card, and of course, on the side, it says Revelation 3:20. Underneath, it said Genesis 3:10. What was the Genesis 3:10? Did you read that? "I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." That's the reason why I didn't answer the phone. Folks, this is what we do when we sin against God. We hid ourselves. This is what the backsliders do. How many backsliders do you see coming to the church regularly and seeking Word of God regularly? They don't. I know every one of the backsliders whom I know, they do have a same pattern. The first thing, they start to come less and less. They start to read the Word of God less and less. Pretty soon, they cut themselves off from the contact with any Christian friends and away from the Word of God. I said this before, but it's a good illustration, so I'm going to use it again. When you put the barbecue together, you pile up the charcoal, and you put this light fluid When they're all together, it burns bright, hot. You pull out one charcoal out of the pile, living alone, by itself, all by itself, isolated from the pile. Guess what happened? It starts to cool off. It becomes completely cold. That's what the devil will do to you and me. When we start to listen to the devil's lie, he will isolate us away from the fellowship and separate us away from the fellowship, and he will take us out cold. It's a given. It's the same formula he used over and over, and it works. He hid himself. Adam and Eve hid himself. Where can they go from the presence of God, who is everywhere? He's omnipresent. You know, old saying said, you can run, but you cannot hide from God. This showed that Adam and Eve knew the attempt to cover themselves failed. They didn't proudly show up their, you know, fig leaf, their outfit to God. I'm sure they were itching, scratching themselves like crazy. And they were embarrassed before God. There's one theological term for this fig-leaf outfit. Adam's fall, fashion line. Some of you got it. Note that, please. God is the one actively seeking. He's the one who said, where are you? Do you know any religion? Do you know any God, any other God other than mighty Jehovah God that we serve, that's seeking human? They demand human to come serve him. Always. But our God seeks the one who is lost. Verse 11. And he said, who told you that you are naked, and have you eaten from the tree which I command you, you should not eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. You know, it is the anguished father saying, crying out to this lost people, where are you? And this is the anguished father who is asking, what did you do? Guess what the answer was? The woman you gave it to me. Is it really a woman God gave it to him to cause him to fall into sin? No. Sin always makes us run away from God's presence and God's voice. Amen. And God wants us Adam to confess. Ever since Adam, we've been running away from God whenever we sin against God, whenever we try to backslide from God. That's a given. Folks, listen carefully, please. We all sin. We all sin. If you say you don't sin, you are lying. Amen. That is a sin itself. We all sin. There's nothing you can do about the yesterday's sin. But there's something you can do right about what you're going to do with the yesterday's sin. You can confess and be right with God. Whatever you've been doing, stop and turn away from it. If you say, well, I'm sorry that I've been doing this, but I'm going to stay where I am, that's not repentance. That's a remorse. Or maybe you're sorry that you got caught. True repentance is turning away from what you've been doing and seeking God actively. Amen. Adam's attempt to put the blame on Eve is not really putting the blame on Eve. Actually, what he's doing is putting the blame on God. The woman you gave to me, if you didn't give me this woman, and you know, I was taking a nap, and I was a rip short now, I have this woman, that she's causing me a problem. Thank you very much, God. I really don't need this. That's the attitude. Did God make him to sin? No. He, as I said before, his eyes wide open, his ears wide open, yet he sinned. Voluntarily. Shifting blame game is not going to make any difference. It's a borderline blasphemy. So when you sin, when I sin, let's confess. Let's make it right with God. Continue in verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than all every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his head. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Note that Satan in this serpent form was still hanging around with Adam and Eve. What was he doing? Still hanging around with them. In my opinion, this is my guess. He's condemning them. He's been condemning them since they swallowed that fruit. That's the typical way of Satan dealing with us. He tempts us. And when we fall for his temptation, guess what he does? He condemns us. He makes us feel like we are not worthy to come to Christ. Of course, he wants us to stay in that stage, not seeking God. But don't listen to his condemnation. Temptation and condemnation don't come from God. They come from a pit of hell. Conviction to make the things right with God comes from God. Adam and Eve must have been terrified that God just cursed him and become a snake and slithering and hissing animal and crawling on his belly. And they're thinking, uh-oh, it's our turn next. He's going to turn us into some sort of pig. Guess what God does? In this, God prophesied the doom of the Satan. Folks, some commentators call this chapter is the first one to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed of yours have enmity against the seed of hers. Who is the seed of hers? That is Jesus Christ. It's been a battle from day one. Does it mean because Adam and Eve disobedient to God, does it mean that God's plan was set back? Absolutely not. This was part of the plan. Because God wants to have different thing other than innocent man. In the Garden of Eden, these people did not have a conscience. They were innocent people, literally innocent people. As I said before, innocence is nothing more than ignorance of evil. However, God wants us to have more than just innocence. God wants us to have redemption. Instead of being an innocent man, he wants us to be a redeemed man. Let's continue in verse 16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Number one there. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I don't think I have to explain about the pain of childbearing to the ladies, because the ladies know, and all the other things that connect with the childbearing. So my recommendation, ladies, when you get to heaven, have a long talk with Eve. I'm sure she will explain a lot to you guys. The principle of the Adam's headship as husband has been established. However, this has been changed all of a sudden because of the fall. The word said, your desire shall be for your husband. It's not like she wants her husband. The desire should be translated correctly as a control over. That means her wife wants to control husband. It used to be a husband and wife. Wife supposed to be submissive. But all of a sudden, because of fall of man, the role is trying to be reversed. There's a power struggle. Now the battle between the sex begun. Majority of argument between husband and wife is coming from the who wants to be in control. That's the bottom line. If the husband loved their wives as Christ loved the church, and the wife becomes submissive to their husband as unto the Lord, guess what, folks? You don't have a problem in your marriage. If we run the family according to the word of God, we don't have a problem. But there is a power struggle because a woman trying to get a control and a man trying to control. That's why it doesn't work. Verse 17. And Adam said, because of you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I command you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground you for your sake. Number two, in toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Both, number three, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Number four, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Number five, till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for the dust you are. And number six, to dust you shall return. Because of Adam, the curse upon the all creation and the curse of man. Before the curse on man, the ground was good. It produced nothing but the good things. Now we have a problem. If you don't believe me, don't do anything for your yard for an entire summer. See what happened. I bet you cannot find your car because of all the weeds. It happens that way. You don't have to do anything bad to your yard to make it look bad and filled with weeds. Judgment upon man and death came upon him. And even though Adam is not physically dead right on the spot, and as a matter of fact, he lived 900 years. But spiritually, he was dead. He was separated from God. I find a sixth point here. Number one, sin brought the pain to childbirth. But no one knew more pain than Jesus Christ when he, through his suffering, brought many sons to glory. Number two, I ask you on the line. Toil. Sin brought the toil, but Jesus endured great toil to bring our salvation. I ask you on the line, thorns. Thorn came with the sin and the fall. Jesus endured a crown of thorns to bring our salvation. I ask you on the line, in the sweat. Sin brought the sweat, but Jesus sweat as it were, great drops of blood to win our salvation in the Garden of Gethsemane. I ask you on the line, sorrow, till you return to the ground. That's a sorrow. Sin brought a sorrow. Jesus became a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, to save us. And death. Sin brought death. Jesus tasted death for everyone that we might be saved, we might be resurrected with him. Continue in verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means life, because she was the mother of all living. And also for Adam, his wife, the Lord made a tunic of the skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, eat and live forever. Therefore, Lord God sent him out of the Eden, out of the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. So that he drove out the man, he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of the Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Can you imagine with the fallen status, if the Adam get to live forever, man, he would look like a raisin with all the wrinkles. In order the Adam and Eve to be clothed, the sacrifice had to be made. He said a tunic, it's animal's tunic, animal skin. To give up the skin, animal had to die. The blood has been shed. This is the original of the sacrifice. Because of one's sin, somebody had to die. That is an atoning sacrifice. Sin requires life. Without the blood, there's no remission. Adam and Eve were clothed in the garment that purchased with the life of somebody else. But that's temporarily. It only covers sins. But now we get to wear the garment of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Not temporarily, but it's permanent. For those who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we found all this thing as a curse. However, God is too gracious to let us go being cursed for eternal life. He brought the cure through Jesus Christ. The seed of a woman became a cure. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Romans 8, 38. Don't close your Bible yet. I'm not done with you guys. Romans 8, 38. With the disobedience of the first Adam, mankind was separated from God. Now, because God loved us so much that He sent His second Adam, Jesus Christ, that we may have eternal life. This is the love of God. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there any reason why we should not take His love? In the Garden of Eden, sin has been made. In the Garden of Gethsemane, that sin's damnation has been broken. Let's make applications. Number one, we will fall straight into temptation when we neglect the Word of God, God's Word, and prayers to Him. Please, if you are in that stage, if you are in the stage of backsliding, please return to Him. I'll do just about everything close to begging. Please return to Him. It's not worth it. Think about the consequences you will face. Number two, what we fleshly desire is contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives. Let's ask ourselves, the consequences of what we want is worth. If it's worth it. There is often nothing, third application, there's often nothing you can do about yesterday's sin, but you can do what is right before God right now by confessing and repenting. Let's stand up and pray.